Turn, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah tonight, Jeremiah chapter number 2 this evening. We have a series of special meetings coming up. I've invited a special guest. Some of you may know his name. He is world-renowned. His name is Bill Bright. He founded in 1951 the Campus Crusade for Christ. It's the largest new evangelical organization in the world. Their facility is located in Orlando, Florida. They have 285 acres on a facility costing $45 million. They have over 20,000 full-time staff. And their plans are, during the year of 2000, to lead 1 billion people to Christ. Now, if I were to be serious about bringing him in, I'm sure some of you would have a few things to say about that, wouldn't you? I'm not serious. But some of you are getting ready to participate with him. Family Life Today is owned by the Campus Crusade for Christ. Family Life Today is part of their ministry. Bill Bright said, in signing the document called The Evangelicals and Catholics Together, that's the name of the document, he signed a statement along with many others saying that evangelicals and Catholics are brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1969, he explained, he said, as head of the Campus Crusade, he said, we do not attack the Roman Church. We believe God is doing a mighty work in it. And will no doubt use millions of Roman Catholics to help evangelize the world. Then he said in 1986, there was a day when Protestants and Roman Catholics would not have much to do with one another. But today the Spirit of God is doing such a great work in both the Roman Catholic and Protestant fellowships and communions that I feel very much at home wherever Jesus is honored. He endorsed the film called The Mission, which is about some Catholic missionaries, and he called the movie a triumphal film with a life-changing message which will enrich your life for years to come. Campus Crusade for Christ not only has run with the Roman Catholic Church and hired many Roman Catholics on its staff, but in Ireland they are a registered religious order under the auspices of the Roman Catholic Church. In the mid-70s, Campus Crusade changed their policy to begin working with the Pentecostals and Charismatics, and at that point they made it clear in a statement saying that they viewed any criticism of their organization as unloving, unkind, and unchristian. Dennis Rainey heads up the program called Family Life Today. He's housed down in Arkansas. The radio program has 1.5 million listeners. 92,000 people attended their family conferences last year. In 1970, Dennis joined Campus Crusade for Christ, and then a little later in 1976, he began the first Family Life Conference, and it has expanded since there. Their held conferences are most often held on weekends. They start on a Friday night. They end on a Sunday evening at 4:15, taking the person out of church. The one that's going to be held in our area, as I understand it, will end on Saturday night. That's an unusual conference. But again, it will be headed by and run by, organized by, controlled by the Campus Crusade for Christ. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2, if you will, tonight. Verse number 9. The Bible says, wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Let's pray. Father, tonight, Lord, the message tonight certainly is not going to be a popular one. It's not one that our world would like to hear. But yet, Lord, I believe tonight that it'll be true to Your Word and what You've ordered for the moment. I pray, Father, that You'll give me wisdom to speak right. I pray, Father, that You'll give me a sweet spirit and give everyone here as well a sweet spirit and a teachable spirit as well. Help us tonight to not just want to be taught by men, but even more important, taught of the Holy Ghost of God through the Word of God. Lord, it's fun to hear the Word preached and taught when it doesn't cut across the grain and cause us to make decisions and choices in life. But tonight, for some, there will be some choices that need to be made. I pray that You will help them to take the Word of God as their final rule of faith and practice. Even tonight, help us as Christians, I pray, to carefully examine the Word and to make some careful decisions for future days as well, that we might be found standing straight, tall, and strong in whatever years may come before the coming of the Lord Jesus. Bless us now tonight, and we pray that ultimately, when all is done, that in our lives as well as by our lips, the Lord Jesus might be the one that's uplifted. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray it and ask it. Amen. The subject of Campus Crusade for Christ has rather shocked me. Family life today, to be honest with you, is a ministry, a radio ministry, that has attracted a lot of attention. As with most new evangelicals, their message is one of a positive nature. You won't hear a lot of negative from them. They're very careful about that. New evangelicals always are. A new evangelical, if you could just kind of lump them together and say, okay, what is a new evangelical? A new evangelical is a person who has identified themselves with a camp that says, in essence, there are some things we won't ever say because it might not be taken well, and so we'll only preach the positive side of things. That's just basically, that's the Hammett version, but that's basically rounding up what a new evangelical is. And Bill Bright falls in that category very well. Now, to say that Campus Crusade has never done any good, you won't hear that from me. I think there's been some good that they have accomplished from time to time. To say that Family Life Today doesn't have some good materials and from time to time some good things to say on the radio, you'll not hear that from me, because I believe there are times when they do. And I have listened to them and at times enjoyed some of their programming. But that's where the danger lies. We are a Baptist church. We're here for a reason. We're Baptists for a reason. We believe very clearly that Jesus Christ started His church during His earthly ministry. The church that He started was not an invisible, universal group of something out there you can't touch, but it was a local, visible assembly. It's the only kind of organization Jesus ever started. And the church that Jesus started was Baptist in doctrine and practice. I can prove that from the Scriptures. That's not my intent in this message tonight, but I can prove it from Scriptures. And if the Lord's churches would just determine to say, we're going to fellowship with other churches of like faith and practice, other Baptist churches that are like us, it would solve all problems of separation. In fact, this is where much of the so-called fundamental crowd of our day have a lot of problems. They have so much trouble drawing lines of distinction between what organization to get involved with and what organization not to get involved with. When you believe in what many of them do, of an invisible church, that we're all in the same church anyway, then you do have real problems with separation. It becomes very difficult to draw the lines and figure out where those lines fall. But when you take the Scriptures at face value, at a local church only position, then those lines are much easier to be drawn and to be kept. It's not that we would then hate people that are involved in Campus Life or Campus Crusade or Family Life Today or folks like Dennis Rainey or Bill Bright. Not at all that we would hate them. But there are things that they have to say, and there are activities that they get involved with that compromise the gospel and compromise the cause of Jesus Christ. I have more to say about that in just a moment. But I want you to notice what Jeremiah has to say here in verse 13 tonight. He says, "My people have committed two evils." I see this happening in our day and age in many different fronts. But verse 13, these two evils are, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns of all things that can hold no water." Now, it's almost an amazing thing. Here is the Lord Jesus, who characterizes Himself as a fountain of living water, water springing out to meet the needs of His people. And He says, you know, it's an amazing thing. My people have left that fountain of living water that's springing out with the answers to life, with all that's needed. They've walked away from me. And then, horror of horrors, surprise and surprise, they've gone and dug themselves cisterns to catch the rainwater. And then even those cisterns they've dug have cracks in them. And the water leaks out. They not only are not getting the fresh water, they're getting the dirty water, but even the dirty water, they can't even hold it. Where they've gone for their help is going to ultimately be their destruction. Two things tonight. How is it that we would forsake Christ by joining in with a new evangelical group like Campus Crusade or Family Life Today? Why is it that we would not throw in our weight with such an organization or with the family life thing that's coming to town here? Why are we not involved? Why not promise keepers is another good question. I mean, you could just lump all kinds of things here, but why not? First of all, because to do so would forsake Christ. It indeed would forsake the Lord Jesus Himself. You say, oh, is that not a strong cause or statement? How could you say that it would in any way forsake Christ? Well, there are four ways. First of all, it would deny the Savior. Deny the Savior. Bill Bright, interesting enough, has been for several years a key organizer and sponsor of what is known as the Washington for Jesus celebrations. Now follow this. The Washington for Jesus celebrations, organized, controlled by, and on this steering committee running this thing, is Bill Bright. And in this organization, they include not only Roman Catholic priests. You may think I'm rather hard on the Catholic Church. It's been a while since I've said much about the Catholic Church. But you need to understand where I come from, those of you that do not know me. I was raised a Roman Catholic. I intended to be a Catholic priest. My father is in hell tonight because of Catholic doctrine. It's not the Catholics that I hate at all. It's Catholicism's lies that somehow you can get to heaven through the seven sacraments or get to heaven through prayers to Mary and prayers to the saints. My friend, nothing could be further from Bible truth. And I don't believe that God's people can keep quiet on such subjects. But Mr. Bright involves Catholic priests and not only in the Washington for Jesus celebrations, but his other activities. They involve the Seventh-day Adventists. Now, you say, well, Seventh-day Adventists, aren't they Christian? No, sir. Seventh-day Adventism is not Christian. Seventh-day Adventism is Old Testament Jewish law. Keep the law and you'll get to heaven. Live right and maybe you'll make it. It's law and not grace. The opposite of the New Testament. Absolute opposite. If that were not enough, they also involve the United Pentecostal Church. You say, oh, well, what's wrong with a few charismatic? No. You misunderstand. These are not just charismatics. The United Pentecostal Church denies the Trinity. They do not believe, this particular group does not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. And yet, Mr. Bright would involve them and call them brethren. Turn, if you will, for just a moment, holding your place back there. We'll go back in a moment to the book of 2 John. The epistle of 2 John tonight. The Bible's clear. It says in 2 John verses 9, 10, and 11, It says, whosoever transgresseth. That means steps over the line and continues over. And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. They don't dwell on the doctrine of Christ. Hath not God. Now that's pretty plain and clear. Any organization that denies that Jesus is God in the flesh is an apostate organization, not a church, not even Christian. And for someone to even suggest that, well, you know, there's a lot of Christians in that organization. I'm sorry, friend. I won't even buy that one. If there is a Christian in the organization, they won't stay there long because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They'll get out. They won't stay there. They can't stay there. It goes on to say, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Somebody says, why wouldn't you join in with such an organization? Very simply, right there is the reason. I don't want it to be confused. I don't want it to be confusing. I don't want folks to look on me and think, well, Brother Hammett thinks that these folks over here don't believe in Jesus, that they're Christians too, and so it must be okay to just be anything you want to be. Somebody may say, well, boy, he's a narrow person, and I'll plead guilty, but I fear I am not near as narrow as the Lord Jesus is. That's my fear. Now, I do not care for separation that comes out of a mean spirit. And I realize there have been fundamentalists that have done that. There have been Baptists that have done that with such a mean and bitter spirit. I don't think God honors that, my friend. But neither do I think that my Savior honors compromise when it comes to His person. Jesus is the one that died for us. He's the one that came for us. He's the one that's coming back for us. I don't want to stand before Him and look in His face and say, Lord, I ran around with a bunch of folks that said nothing but evil against You, but I want you to know that I was a loving person. I'm sorry, you come up to me and start bad-mouthing my wife, and you and I are not going to get along. I mean, it's just that simple. I love her, and I will defend her to my last dying breath. Period. And that goes double for my Savior. He's the one that died for me. Any man that won't stand up for his wife, won't love his wife, I don't have much use for him. I just think something wrong with him, a little bit wimpy, something wrong there. But let me go a step further. A Christian that doesn't have any more esteem and concern for the Savior that bought them with His own blood, I wonder how they can be a Christian. I wonder how. Deny the Savior. How else could a person forsake Christ? By destroying salvation. Dr. Woodbridge was a professor at Fuller Seminary when Bill Bright was a student there. He was there during the time that the idea of Campus Crusade was born. He was one of his professors. He wrote a little later about the Campus Crusade, Four Spiritual Laws, which is what they use. He wrote this statement. He said, this is Dr. Woodbridge. He said, based in my judgment upon the plain teaching of the Bible, I regard these laws, the four spiritual laws, as totally inadequate, indeed an emasculated and misleading presentation of the blessed gospel of the Son of God. Now, this by a man, listen, this is a man, Mr. Woodbridge, is a man who supported Campus Crusade for several years, was a professor of Mr. Bright's, and later came to this conclusion as he saw the four spiritual laws unfolded. He said, this is not where Campus Crusade should have gone. This man disavowed Campus Crusade and came out publicly against it because he said the gospel that they presented was an emasculated gospel. It was a gospel that was withered, that was gutted, that had absolutely no saving power to it. Now, that's not too surprising to me when I look at who Mr. Bright runs with and who the Campus Crusade movement runs with. They not only deny the Savior, but obviously they're going to destroy in the power of salvation. They're going to destroy it. And the people they're going to come in contact with, all they're going to do is make them more a believer that they are a Christian without true Bible salvation. That is, now don't misunderstand, that is not to say everybody united with Campus Crusade is lost. I don't believe that. It's not to say that they have never won anybody to Christ. I believe they have. But I believe that there are multitudes that have been misled and will be damned because they have believed a partial gospel instead of a full gospel, and they think they're okay when they are not okay, and they have not been challenged on repentance and faith in Christ alone. Third of all, not only does it deny the Savior and destroy salvation, but, my friend, when you forsake Christ, you desert the saints. Desert the saints, you say? Yes. Do you know Jesus started the church? It's not a human invention. Do you know Jesus loved the church? Do you know Jesus died for the church? But friend, when you turn your back on Christ, when you forsake Him, you're going to turn your back on the church. Campus Crusade for Christ? I have to ask the question. $45 million for a headquarters? My soul. Where did they get that money? I'm sure it didn't come from the pockets of Christians, did it? I'm sure the lost world just coughed it up and said, you know, we ought to fund him. He seems like a nice guy. No, it came out of the pockets of, I put in quotation mark, Christians. People around the world who bought into the program and said, wow, look at what all they have. It looks like they have something worth supporting. You know, one of the dangers here, this is a danger of the television ministry, a danger of the radio ministry. The danger is this. Now, you and I, as we watch those productions, and that is exactly what they are, we watch the productions and we see all the flash and all the sizzle and all the excitement. Because we're not there, we don't hear about the heartbreaks and the failures and the difficulties that they go through, and they have them just like we do. But they get to keep them from us. We begin to think that those ministries have something special that we don't have as the Lord's church. And I believe tonight that there are many churches that are not faring well in America. True churches, the Lord's churches, that are not faring well because God's people in those churches have gone to supporting ministries that Jesus never authorized. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10 puts it like this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do you know the Lord intends for a church to come together and be together? And unity can only come as God's people get together and study the Word together and become of one mind and one spirit. It has to happen. That's why churches get divided and difficulties, divisions, and schisms come up. You get a little group over here going one direction, teaching their own little things, and another group going this way, and another group going this way. And as wonderful as the radio possibilities are today, and the TV possibilities, and the internet, I'll tell you, there are some amazing things out there in technology that can be used to literally get the gospel to the four ends of the world. But we must be careful as God's people that we don't go taking in doctrine here and doctrine here and doctrine here and then come into the church and wonder why it is that we don't agree any longer. The doctrine here and the doctrine here and the doctrine here, if it doesn't agree with the doctrine that's here, has got to be put out. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, puts it like this in verse 24. And let us consider one another. Consider. You know what that word consider means? Think about. Care about. Sit back and ponder each other. Let us consider one another and to provoke. Oh, now I can provoke some people. No. You got the wrong idea now. It's not that kind of provoke, okay? Don't come and poke me tonight, all right? It's provoked to love. Let's provoke one another to love. Let's provoke one another to love. Watch this. To love, he says, and to good works. To love what? How about love him? I like that song. I love that song we sang tonight. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. Let's provoke. I mean, let's push each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's stick each other in the back end until we get ourselves prodded and moving on to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to do. And provoke one another to good works, to dare to get busy about the work of God. But then he says this, verse 25. How do you do it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why do we gather? I've had folks, often people point this out to me. You know, it's so odd. We visited your church on Sunday morning. We saw all the people that were there, and we thought we'd come back Sunday night, or we thought we'd go back Wednesday night. And as we sat there, we looked around, and we couldn't believe all the people that were still there. I've had people before come and visit for a while and look around and see the attendance, and then they say, well, we're not coming back again. Well, why not? Would you mind telling? Well, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Your folks are here all the time. We don't think we can live up to the commitment level. Now, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that. See, I believe that God's people ought to gather together. I believe we ought to gather together to provoke one another, to exhort one another to good works and to love. And we ought to be exhorting one another even more as we see that day approaching. We ought to be gathering together, encouraging each other, and encouraging each other. Hey, let's keep getting together. Not so we can... Now watch. Not to get together. It's not the end in itself. Do you see how many people we had in church today? Who cares? Ask a better question. How many people were involved in ministry today? How many people were involved in ministry this week? How many folks were involved in talking to others? How many folks were encouraged to dare to step out of sight of themselves and live for Christ this week because they were in the house of God with God's people? That's what we ought to be asking. So we gather together. But you see, things like Campus Crusade and Family Life Today do not encourage church involvement. They encourage involvement in their ministries. That's why they're there. That's how they built a facility for $45 million. That's how they hire 20,000 plus full-time staff members every year. That's how they put on their big-time events. I'll tell you what, if we had that kind of money, we could do some pretty shocking things too. So, hand it over and we'll try it, amen. Desert the saints. See, I believe this. I believe that the Lord has equipped the church, the Lord's church, with everything we need.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand. I didn't say, I have everything you need. I don't. I'm not the only member of this body. The Lord has equipped this body with everything it needs. You are members in particular. And if every member of the Lehigh Valley Baptist Church dared to say, I'm going to serve Christ, I'm going to serve Him with all my heart, I'm going to dig in and I'm going to go for the gold, I'm going to live for Christ no matter what, I'm going to sell my life out and give it for Christ and for the work of the gospel, I guarantee you this, there would not be a need lacking in any of our lives. This church would be a veritable fire. I mean, people would come to see us burn. I believe this, that Christ has given us everything we need in this church. Now, I don't mean by that that there's nothing outside that couldn't be profitable along the line. But I mean that if there was nothing outside, everything that's needed is right here. If there were no other churches, this church could still make it because it's the Lord's church. Jesus still dwells in our midst. He's still in the midst of His candlesticks. He's still able to fill the church. He's still able to strengthen the church, to use the church, to empower the church. He's still able to do all of that. And when we turn our back on the institution that Jesus loved to go elsewhere for our encouragement or our help or whatever, we are in essence saying, I'll look elsewhere. Jesus, I don't need what You have provided me. It would be like my wife saying tonight, Doug, I want you to know I really love you. And I appreciate the house You've provided for me and the clothing and all the things You've given me here, but there's another man down the street who has a little finer house, and he's offered me some extra things. If I'll just come over and spend a few days with him every now and then. But I'll tell you, now don't misunderstand, Doug, I'm going to be back to see you again. No, I don't think you will be. Not on those kind of terms. There's some things going to have to get straightened out first. And friend, when you and I forsake the Lord's church, that is exactly what we're saying to Jesus. What You've provided is not enough. Forsaking Christ, we also will end up disobeying the Scriptures. Here's Mr. Woodbridge again. He said this, I was present at the banquet in 1951 when Campus Crusade was formally announced. It seemed to me to get off to a fine biblical start. For years I supported and recommended it, but of late I have reached the conclusion that I can no longer have anything to do with it. Why this reversal of opinion? Now, this is not some low nobody. This is not somebody who has a bone to pick with the Campus. This is the guy who was the mentor of Bill Bright. This is a fellow who was a supporter for years. Listen, he says, why the reversal of opinion? The reasons are basically, first, Campus Crusade is joined in unbiblical alliances and thus has soiled the skirt of her testimony. Second, the four spiritual laws, that's their plan of salvation, are a totally inadequate presentation of the gospel. Third, the folk singing groups, which are sponsored by the campus or by the crusade, present, at least in my view, a travesty of the holy gospel. Now, I remind you that this is Mr. Woodbridge, his mentor. This man is not coming from some radical Baptist background like me. He's not some wild-eyed fanatic like me. This guy is a normal, run-of-the-mill new evangelical himself who began to see the error of the way and began to step back from it and said, I must become a fundamentalist. The Bible says in Romans, look at this one with me, if you will, in the book of Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. You may be asking the question, preacher, why even preach a message like this? I mean, after all, it's not the kind of a message that gets folks excited and, wow, thrilled, let's go. It's not the kind of message I enjoy preaching. I wish I never had to preach messages like this. I wish I could, in all honesty, I wish I could become a new evangelical. In all honesty, I wish I could say, you know, the Lord would be honored if I were a new evangelical and I'd never had to preach anything negative. I'd love that. But I don't believe it's honoring to the Word of God, and it's not honest with the Word of God. It's not faithful to my Savior. Romans 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. What is the doctrine we have learned? Is Jesus God? You better believe He's God. Is salvation only through repentance and faith in Christ alone? Absolutely so. Is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ a local institution to which you and I should be faithful, serve in, and serve through? The only institution that Jesus ever started? Yes. My friend, in all three cases, the Campus Crusade and Family Life Today strike out. They miss the boat. So mark those that are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and what? Avoid them. That's what the Lord says. Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but watch, their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the sinful. I have to say, $45 million, I've never been there, okay? But $45 million seems a little extravagant for a headquarters for folks to fly into and out of just as a base of operation. $45 million would be a little extravagant even for a church. It's a long ways from where we are, isn't it? But $45 million is a very extravagant number just for an organization that's taking care of overseeing all these 20,000 employees around the world. In order for me to obey the Scriptures, I must separate from some folks. I don't have to do it the main way. I don't have to be unkind. I don't have to be unloving. But I do have to be honest. I have to be honest with the Scriptures. I have to walk as best I can in line with this book and love the Lord and do what God would have me to do, even though there may be times when I may look at something and say, but it doesn't seem quite that bad, God. Maybe we can salvage it. I don't think you can. I think when the Lord says, mark them and avoid them, it's because God already knows better than you and I. You've committed two evils, he said. You've forsaken the fountain of living waters. But second, you've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Hewn out cisterns. Let me talk to you from the other side of things for a moment. Why would a person or a family, a couple, get involved with something like family life today? This could have wide application in many directions, but we'll talk about family life today because that's our issue for the evening. First of all, because you've put your hope in the presentation. Now, this can happen in a church as well as in a ecumenical organization like Campus Crusade or radio ministry. We get to where we start looking at the man who delivers the message and saying, well, he could do it better this way. Well, if he'd do it that way, it would be more appealing. And pretty soon we start thinking that the power is in the presentation. And so the guys with the bigger lights and they can shoot the pictures up on the wall and get a better production. They can hire their worship leaders to come in and get the crowd all worked up. That's how you really get the people, we begin to think. We place our hope in the presentation and think by some slick and wonderful presentation, problems in life are going to be solved. But friend, the power is never in the presentation. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the power be found. Because you've come to church and heard the presentation and it hasn't changed your family life, you figure if we could only get to a different presentation, maybe that will change our family life. I think not. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Second of all, I think people are drawn to such a thing because they want help in practicalities. Now, by that I mean, you go to something like Family Life Today or many of the other self-help books that are on the shelf and on, they have all kinds of practicalities, practical things that honestly can help you and I in our day-to-day living marriage life. That's why I have found some things, and the book is back there, the Devotions for Couples. It's just, I think, a very tremendous help in and of itself. But I can't endorse the organization because it's only help in practicalities. You say, what do you mean? Well, suppose tonight I had cancer of the throat. My breath begins to smell terrible. So in order to enhance me, I buy myself some special strong mouth drops and drop them in my mouth every so often so my breath smells good. Have I solved my problem? No. Practically speaking, you would appreciate it if I put the drops in and not stink. You'd be happy. But the real problem is not the smell of my breath. The real problem is the cancer in my throat. What I need is a doctor that'll go after the cancer, not some kind of a company to come along and sell me some nice mouth mints that'll make me smell better and still let me die. You say, that's a little tough analogy. I don't think so. Because what's happening in family life today and what happens with Campus Crusade and many of these organizations is they bring lost people into their midst. They refuse to clearly delineate the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard Mr. Woodbridge's assessment right there. And they refuse to lay it out clearly. They refuse to examine the need of a man and a woman's relationship with Christ before they can do anything else that's going to be of a lasting nature. They ignore that issue. Oh, they pass lip service to it, but they ignore it for all practical purposes. Lost people can have nice marriages, but they still die and go to hell. The core issue is Christ and salvation. That's where it all starts. That's where it all begins. The second step is not okay, well, let's start doing this in our family and then we'll get along. The second step is, now that I'm a child of God, the second step is, will I live my life for Christ instead of myself? Will I put myself to death? And until those two issues are dealt with, you can forget all the self-help that goes. Now, I'm not against self-help. It's nice to get along. It's wonderful to get along. And even lost people need to get along. But if not getting along will cause them to wake up and realize they need a Savior, I'd rather they didn't get along. Family life today just lets it kind of rock along and put a Band-Aid on it here and there. I'm not saying that what they have to say isn't good stuff. That it's not novel and sometimes wonderfully practical. But they're not dealing with the core issue because they aren't allowed to deal with the core issue because they have to get along with everybody and they're not allowed to offend anybody by telling the truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ has done for them. The third way in which I think folks have then hewn out cisterns for themselves is they are hunting for the palatable. By that I mean, they're looking for things that taste good. They've come to a Bible preacher who just does like my former pastor who just retired this last year. Brother Noble used to say he'd get a couple come in his office for the last several years of his ministry. He got tired of counseling couples. He said, it doesn't work. He said, I figured out how to solve the problem. He said they'd come in, they'd sit down and tell him their woes, and then he'd say, he'd look at the man and he'd ask him about his salvation. He'd look at the woman and ask her about her salvation. Then he'd say, okay, then why aren't either one of you filled with the Spirit of God? They'd sit there usually stunned and kind of droop their head a little bit. And he'd say, all right, here's what we're going to do to solve your problem. You're both going to get on your knees right now, confess every sin you got, and tell God you're sorry for your stinking rotten sin. Get right with God and get filled with the Spirit and get out of here. He said he seemed to have just as much success that way as... Now, I'm not adopting that method of counseling, but he said it worked. I don't know. But I have found this. When folks sit, they hear what I have to say. They don't like what I have to say. They pick up, nice way usually, and go down the street and find somebody else to sit down with and say, what do you have to tell me? When they don't like them, they pick up and move down the street and sit down again. And what do you have to... Until they find somebody that'll tell them what they want to hear. They want something that's palatable. And here's my problem and yours. When I go to a doctor, I want the doctor to give me one little pill to swallow that won't taste bad. It'll solve all my problems and I'll walk out of his office. 5 minutes later, I'll feel great. I don't want a doctor to look at me like one of them did a few weeks ago, and he said, the problem with your back, I won't tell anybody, he said, I said, you better not tell anybody, I'll kill you if you do. But he said, the problem with your back is, you weigh too much. I looked at him and I said, did Carl tell you that? He did. He told me he wouldn't tell anybody. Wait till I get my hands on him. I would rather have a little pill take all my weight away and let me just eat like I want to eat, wouldn't you? Be a whole lot more enjoyable in life. I don't want self-discipline. My body doesn't like it. I don't want to have to say no to chocolate pie and chocolate cake and wonderful ice cream. I don't have to say no. I don't. But I've got to sometimes. One of these days I'm going to start, amen. Hunting for the palatable. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. And if I could, I'd like to give you a... what to some of you will sound like an oversimplification. But I'll tell you what, tonight, I will give you more godly counsel in the next 5 minutes that will solve 90% of your marriage problems and family problems and business problems. I'll give you one verse. And in 5 minutes' time, give you more godly counsel. You could not pay for this kind of counsel. This is more expensive than rubies and fine gold because it's out of God's Word. What's wrong in my home? Here it is. Luke 9, 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I'm talking to Christians here at this point. Understand. You want to know how to solve your marriage problems? Here it is. Deny yourself. Next time you open your mouth and start yapping away and causing problems in your marriage, stop and ask yourself, am I denying myself or am I trying to assert my rights? Deny yourself. Say no to yourself. More fights happen simply because two people want their way. Say no. I deny. I will not allow myself to run my life. Jesus is going to run my life. I refuse access from my flesh to run my life. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Now, you know what a cross is for. A cross, my friend, is not a decoration that hangs around the neck, though that's what we use it for today. It's not an earring that you stick in your ear. A cross is an instrument of death. You get up every day and you determine today is my day again, that I'm going to embrace whatever comes my way, whatever happens that is across the grain, that cuts against the way, and I don't like it and I don't want it. When it comes, I'm going to remember I'm taking up my cross today. There are going to be situations I'm not going to want to happen in my life. Instead of getting crossways with a situation, I'm going to remind myself I'm dead. I'm dead. I got on the cross. I was executed on the cross with Jesus. My flesh doesn't run me anymore. It doesn't have a right to own me anymore. It can't control me anymore. It's not to control me. I put it on the cross with Christ. The flesh is dead. So I think I'll get up and follow Christ. I'll do what He says, the way He says to do it. It won't always feel good. It won't always seem good. In fact, sometimes it'll look like I'm cutting off my nose despite my face. But I'm going to follow Him. That one verse will do more for your marriage than any 100 hours of marriage counseling that you'll get anywhere else. Just take it and practice it. In fact, I dare say that any real biblical counsel that you're going to get anywhere else is going to basically be that verse summed up and now making application in many other areas. Now, whether you go to Family Life today or not is your business. Not my place to tell you what you have to do. I'm not your dictator. Don't care to be. I got enough problem running my own life. But I would like to remind you of something. If you're a member of the Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, you are not your own. You have an influence on the people that are around you. And if you're going to go to such a place, keep quiet. Don't try to influence others. Don't try to pull others into such an alliance that would, in such a way, hurt the Savior that bought them. You've got to make some decisions. I've got to make some decisions. We will continue to make decisions as long as we are alive about separation issues, and there are not, the lines aren't always clearly laid out for us. But we need to make those decisions carefully before the Lord and ask ourselves in making them, not just what will I get out of this, but if I go forward in this, will I in any way injure or hurt another young Christian? God help me that I not do that. God help you that you not do that either. Father, tonight, Lord, you birthed this church and put her here for reason. Lord, we want her to stand. We want her to be pure and clean. We want her to be empowered and used of you. We want her to be a lighthouse. Lord, the last thing I want is to be known as a church that just fights everything. That's not my desire. But Lord, as I look in your Word, I know that I cannot in any way look at it in honesty and say it's just a positive book. It's full of negatives. Cut across the grain. Sometimes hurt the flesh. Certainly, if I am to follow you, Lord, I will have to take some stands, and this church will have to take some stands that will cause some folks to look at us and think we're too narrow. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a sweet spirit about it, but help us to stand anyway. I pray that you'd help us to see the wisdom in it, and that such alliances as these, down through the years, have always meant compromise and ultimately destruction for the children down the way. Lord, I know where this kind of compromise goes. I've seen it across this country and church after church after church. And Lord, I don't want to see the Lehigh Valley Baptist Church sold out for a mess of pottage. Help us to stand. Help us to stand with you. Help us to stand with one another. Help us to stand in love. But help us to stand in truth as well, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, as the pianist plays the song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." It may be some other area that the Lord has dealt with you about. Most of you probably are not involved or even thinking about being involved with Family Life Today or Campus Crusade. But friend, there are other areas of life that are just as important, probably even more important. And the question we must ask is my life honoring to Christ? He's the one that bought me. Have I forsaken Him? And oh, even worse, have I gone to cisterns that are broken that cannot even help me? God has the answers tonight in His Word. Christ has a fullness of the Godhead dwelling in Him, the Bible says. He comes to make that revelation real in our life, if we'll but come to this book and allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to move in our life and change us and, yes, at times challenge us to pick up and change the way we're living. God's spoken to you tonight. The invitation's open. As we stand to our feet with heads bowed, Homer comes to sing a verse of invitation song. If you know the song, join in with us. Maybe tonight, before we begin the verse, one last challenge just hit me, and it is this. Folks, this church is what she is because we've taken some stands and we've tried to take them in love. God's people need to appreciate that. If this church is to be strong in the years to come, it'll be because as a membership, not just as a preacher, but as a membership, we value walking with Christ in truth and in love. How about you? Do you stand with Christ and with your brothers and sisters tonight? As we sing, will you come?